You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. And isn't it a gorgeous place? We are really lucky. I mean, just think. I mean, you could have been born like on Mercury or something, you know. That really would have been a little bit hotter than Phoenix, Arizona. But if you call Earth home, thanks for tuning in to The Kevin Smith Show. And by the way, if you happen to be listening on Nibiru, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you as well. Those of you who are joining us for the very first time, welcome. We're glad to have you, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a good habit to get into. Welcome to my newly darkened studio. Well, it's not newly darkened. As you know, I returned to my natural habitat yesterday. When we first started doing the video feed, I had agreed that we would add the lights and kind of brighten it up a little bit. I just can't do it. I can't work in that much light. I'm not used to it. I don't like it. And we're back to my newly darkened studio. I hope that there's enough light for you to see what's going on. Well, last night, that was a barn burner show. Now, I say that not because I did the show. I say it based on the email I've been getting from all over the world today. And it's been kind of interesting. I would say 99% of the email was very enthusiastically supportive of the show that we had with astronaut Edgar Mitchell. I did get one first-time listener who wanted to engage me in an email debate. Well, folks, I work 20 hours a day. That is no exaggeration. That is no joke. And every minute of that 20 hours is packed. It's scheduled. And I cannot engage in long-winded email. I just don't have the time. I try to respond to every email that comes from our audience. But as far as engaging in long-winded email debates, it just can't happen. I don't have the time. And he said, well, at least when I informed him of that, he said, at least that shows him some of, you know, my character and what I'm made of. Okie dokie. There were some surprises in the show last night. One person wrote to me and said I should not show so much respect to the guests. Well, I always do. Even if it's a guest presenting information that I personally disagree with, I want you to hear what the guest has to say, and I show that guest respect because that guest is donating his or her time to sit and talk with you. And whether I agree with them or disagree with them, I owe them respect for giving us, the Kevin Smith Show family, their time. Don't you think? Well, I'm always going to be respectful of the guests that we have. And we have a very interesting guest this evening. Ed Grimsley will join me after this break. And Ed has been rocking some boats with his videos and photos of UFOs through night vision technology and his report of seeing them shoot at each other. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Thousands of brave young men and women have returned from the war, many of whom have suffered devastating injuries and made supreme sacrifice for our freedom. You can help these American heroes, and we really do hold the keys to get the future in your hands. Fans for Vet is a national organization that acquires new and used vehicles by donation, motorhomes, and sometimes even boats for placement with disabled and homeless veterans. We make necessary repairs to the vehicle. We fit it with handicap assistant hardware, driving controls, wheelchair ramps, and then we give these vehicles to the disabled veteran or the homeless veteran free of charge. You can change a life and show your appreciation by donating a vehicle that you no longer need to. VansForVets.org. Please contact us at www.VansForVets.org. Thank you. God bless America.
10, 9.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Show unique in the galaxy.
It is indeed the Kevin Smith Show, and I am Kevin Smith, your host. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley. I have told you many times, and some of you take this to heart, and you should, that many of the guests that we have on this show are on this show as a result of someone in our audience sending me an email saying, I heard this guy, or I saw this lady, I read this book, and you know, you should get in touch with this person. And they send me information on how to get in touch with them. The person who did that is someone that listens to this show quite frequently and requested that I not use his name in saying anything about that he got the person on the show or hooked us up, got us linked up. Don't know why, but I'll honor that request and simply say thank you. Ed Grimsley has a fascinating story. He's been on several radio shows, I think most recently. He's been on Coast to Coast and talking about his, I'm going to say, a strange story because it's what he's got to tell us is a bit of a new angle that we haven't heard a lot about. When I say new, I'm not saying it's something that just recently started happening. I'm just saying we have only sort of recently begun to hear much about this. So I got in touch with Ed, and he said that he would be more than happy to be with us this evening, and I want to thank him for taking his time to talk with us here at the Kevin Smith Show. Ed Grimsley, thank you so much for that, and welcome to the show.
Hi, you're welcome. I'm glad to do it. Trying to just give the message and the techniques out to the world because it's 100% true, and I was able to show it to George Norrie and Tom, his assistant, and I blew their mind, and every time I show them to people, teach them how to find the UFOs, they kind of change their life, and if I can tell the truth to them, get them to see the truth, then that's a good deal.
All right. I got it encapsulated right that you are able to use some night vision technology to see UFOs on virtually any night, virtually from any location.
That's true. You have it right. If there's a bunch of clouds or fogged in or something happens, then you can't see too much of anything. But if it's a clear sky and a good night, you put out those glasses and start doing a technique of looking for them, you're going to find them. You're going to see some satellites out there. You're going to see some spacecraft. You're going to see some bugs. You're going to see some moths, some bats, and a few birds going by. But we tell the people the difference and teach them how to look for what and how, and we get some amazing results. We were just at Tesla conference in Albuquerque, New Mexico last week, and we got a group of people out by the pool, and I think there was 30, 40 people that was around the conference, and these are intelligent people and scientists and things, and said, okay, guys, we're going to show you some stuff. And a friend of mine, he helped hook up the camera now, George Gavori. And we had several pairs looking, with one pair with a camera mounted into it. And here come a couple of saucers. They're traveling through. And then here come a few bats and a few birds and airplanes and things like that. And we shine those off. And people are looking with a couple pair, and they're going, oh my God, look at there. And you turn and you look and you find out what they're seeing. And sometimes it's a big bat zooming around. Sometimes it's a bug. Sometimes it's a UFO.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I would like for us to do before we get into the Star Wars or Sky Wars part of this. I really would like for you to share that story that you told me about when you were 16 years old, and I believe you're on a camping trip, and something rather interesting and spectacular happened that quite a number of people around you witnessed.
Yeah. Well, back when I was a kid, about 10, 12 years old, I was hiking with my relatives, and there was daylight. Two big spacecraft that came up beside of us, and it kind of stopped, and my dad said, hold still, those are flying saucers. And I said, well, why hold still? They can see us. And I slowly waved at them, and one of them wobbled and wobbled like he was waving back, and then they zoomed and flew off. Well, at 10, 12 years old, I knew they were there. I knew they existed, and I got to see them massively big, probably 500 yards away. And so one night, it was a Thursday night, we were up in the Sierras in 1961 getting ready for the deer hay season that would have started on Saturday. And in turn, I have gone to bed, I'm laying back on the sleeping bag in the canvas, and it's a beautiful clear sky, and you could just about see everything there was, and it was just crystal clear. And all of a sudden, I see these things that look like diamonds glowing, and they're coming at each other, and they're firing, and they're blowing each other up.
Now, how do you know they were firing?
Well, you could see the beam from one craft to the other. You could see like a light beam, boop, and a flash, and then one would blow up. or if they missed, the other was firing back, and they were doing that, and they were making head-on runs at each other, flying through each other and firing beams and blowing each other up. And
now, how high up were these things?
Well, they were low enough that you could see them pretty good, but they were up where probably satellites would run, probably 100, 200 miles up. And definitely no bugs, no moths, that, none of that kind of stuff. And I started yelling to everybody in the campsite, yelling to my dad, come out, there's UFOs up there firing on each other. And he says, go back to sleep, you're dreaming. And I go, no, I'm not, Dad, I'm awake. And he sticks his head out of the tent, and he looks up and he says, oh, you're right. My God, look at him. And I yelled to the campsites in the area and was waking everybody up and telling them to look and watching it. And several campsites looked, and there was like five people with us. And they all laid around on their backs and watched about an hour and a half. And then my dad, after seeing a lot of it, and seeing battles, seeing some blow up, and seeing some chasing each other, and if one was in a group of three, and two got blasted, and the one would break and try to get out of there, and another two chasing them, they'd be outnumbered, and he'd take off, and then pretty soon there'd be another craft coming in behind them, firing at them forward, and they're firing forward at the other guy, and he's firing back, and it's like just an unbelievable Star Wars. Now, this is 61. And I'm 16 years old, so I'm 63 now. Well, it's just unbelievable what was taking place. And I thought, is this the Battle of Armageddon, or what's going on? Who are they? What are they fighting over? About an hour and a half later, my dad says, you know, said my neck's getting sore. I'm going to go back to sleep. We got to drive into Reno and get camp groceries and things. And I says, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to go back to sleep. And I said, how can you sleep? Look at them. And he says, well, he says, I don't know who they are. I don't know what they're fighting over. I hope it's not us. But he says, I don't know whose side I'd be on. And my 270 deer rifle wouldn't reach them. So I'm going to go back to sleep. And if you want to keep watching, that's fine. So he went back in the tent, and I kept saying, Dad, come out here. There's a really big battle going on. There's about six going around. And he says, don't wake me up. I got to sleep. I got to drive to town in the morning. So anyway, I sat out there, and little by little, other people faded off. And it started about 9 o'clock when I saw them.
Now, you're talking about other people seeing them. How many other people were seeing them?
Probably 15, 16 people, because I don't know how many was in the one camp and the other, and I know how many is in my camp. And the one guy that saw him, and he saw a lot of it happening, but he's kind of not wanted to talk about it, and he owns a vineyard and winery and management of stuff, and he used to hunt with it. Well, now he's like probably 70 years old or so, and he doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to mention his name or anything, but and that's okay, and I won't tell Justice's full name or anything, and he and I see it and talk, and he tells me, I just want to forget about it. He says, that scared me, and I just don't want to talk about it, because he says, I'm a business person, I got things, and people will think I'm crazy, and he says, I don't want to be involved in talking about them to people. And I said, okay, we'll still talk once in a while, and I'll fill you in on what's happening. He says, cool, good. So anyway, when I went back and was back at school, I told in front of my science class everybody about it. And they all laughed and chuckled. And, So I, being a little bit upset about doing it, I told them what they could do with their joke. And I got up, walked out of the class, and I didn't go back to class for about a week until I got an apology for the teacher laughing at me, and then I went back. And so it turned out to be that back in those days, I'd get ridiculed or I'd get teased a little bit about if I told people the story, what happened. Now, all night long, that battle went on, and I stayed awake and was watching them, and I could see how they would fight with each other, their battle flight and technicalities that they were doing, and their certain moves they'd make at a certain time, and circle and break to the left, and the others would brake to the left. Next thing you know, they're heading each direction, and suddenly they're turning to the left on each other after they've made a flyby and blown a little bit of people up, or beams up, or robots, or whatever's in the craft. And then they would turn into a big tight circle, and in that circle, they would fire across. And if there was two against one, surviving the head-on run, then one of the two together would drop back and drop back while the other one was accelerating a little faster forward. And then they'd get the other one in a crossfire, and he'd be trying to fire at both at a different angle, which would mean he'd have to be changing his laser direction. And usually he'd get it, and they'd do that. But if he got one of them, then the other one and him would go tighter and tighter and tighter until they're really firing, and one would get it.
All right, now how many craft did you see destroyed?
Well, that night, as best I could count, keep track of, I was counting them. And, well, there, you know, there's three there, boom, boom, whatever. And then it kept going. And I was up around 45 craft being destroyed that night, but that wasn't at one time. It was through from 9 o'clock at night until 5:30, almost 6 in the morning, when I could no longer see because of the sun coming up and starting to not be able to see them.
Okay, now, where did you say this took place?
You know where Truckee, California is, in the Sierras. Well, if you turn left and went out on the Sierraville Road, you would go out there, and there's a place called Jackson Meadow Reservoir, Weber Lake, and Weber Ridge. And we were on Weber Ridge, and that's where we would hunt, and that's where we had set the camp up, and other campsites and things were in that area, and other people were there getting ready. And the deer season was taking place Saturday morning at sunup, and we were there Thursday night doing some stuff, unloading, getting it ready. And on Friday, we went into the Reno, Nevada, and my dad, I pushed him into it, and he got on the phone and found the air base to repeat it. And the first guy that answered the phone was really nice, and he says, oh yeah, we've had several calls on that. We've had a number of calls on that. Did it look to you like they were firing at each other? My dad says, oh yeah, it sure did, but my son can tell you even how they fly and their battle patterns. And the guy says, oh, that's amazing. And he said hi to me, and I got on the phone, and he talked and said, well, we're going to put your dad and you to a guy who's handling that situation. He's, because we've got a lot of calls on it. So my dad gets back on the phone, and he starts to talk to this guy, and suddenly the guy's trying to tell my dad he's crazy, and it had to be some kind of meteorite shower, and there's no such thing out there, and all that. But we know that there's already been several people that called before us. And this guy is just totally putting my dad on, lying to him, all that. So my dad says, look, you can't lie to me. I'm not going to take that crap. You either listen to what I got to say and make a report, or that, but don't tell me things, and don't tell me I could probably go to a psychiatrist and get help and all this kind of stuff. So my dad told him off and told him what to do to himself, and he said, you can't tell me that. And my dad says, I just did. You're wasting my dime. Okay? So we hung up on him, and we were all upset about this people and their attitude, that one guy tells us the truth, says there was a bunch of them called in, and he asked me a little bit about it, and I told him. And he said, wow, that's really interesting. He says, other people have said the same kind of thing, and he says, man, that's so hard to believe. And then he says, well, I'm going to put your dad through to this other place that's handling that.
And then you get the brush off.
And then the guy acts like my dad is the only one that saw it, and that he needs help. And, you know, I was only 16, but I was a good wrestler and a good boxer. I'd like to got that guy in a ring, because he treated my dad pretty rude.
All right, now, let me toss this observation in, because you mentioned that one of the guys that saw this is a businessman, and today, and even now, doesn't like talking about it. And he said,
"He'll talk to me about it." But
he's afraid of other people thinking that he's crazy, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, all right. Now, let me just throw this observation out there. Because I hear this, Ed, I hear this frequently doing this type of show. I talk to a lot of people every day, and I hear this frequently. I don't want people to think I'm crazy. Well, here's the deal. The deal is that insanity is already pandemic throughout the country. Insanity, it is insane.
Crazy.
That's right. Because you see, it's insane to deny reality. All right. Now you have a person that stands on top of a 20-story building and denies the reality of gravity. What would you say? He's gonna step off and float. And if his name's not Chris Angel, he's not floating. He's gonna fall because he is denying reality, and we would say that person's insane. Whenever you have a group of people who have seen the same thing, and especially these days, Ed, when people are taking photographs and videos of them, cameras and video cameras, they cannot capture somebody's hallucination. So if you've got it on videotape or you've got it on film, then it's really an object that's out there that's reflecting light, and that's the way cameras work. So when someone denies the reality of that, that is insane. It's not the person who's admitting the reality of it that's insane. It's the person who's denying it that's insane.
Yeah, well, I get a lot of people that say, are you sure? Are you a little crazy? And I go, well, I'm a little crazy, but once Ross Perot told me, it helps to be a little crazy. I'm helping him out on the direct hand. And Ross Perot actually told me that while shaking his hand. And I told him I had a lot of good things I can do for the world, and I'd like to help it.
Okay, Ed, we're going to get to that when we come back from this break. Ladies and gentlemen, more with the Sky Wars and Ed Grimsley when we return. Don't go away.
I don't need to feel your sympathy.
We are back. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley. And we're talking about a rather amazing event that took place in his life back in 1961, to which there were quite a number of other witnesses. And it hasn't stopped there. That's not the last time you've seen battles in the sky, is it, Ed?
No, it isn't. I saw that go on all night, probably 45 kills, and there was hundreds and hundreds of crafts involved. And the Earth was rotating from 9 o'clock until 5, 6 in the morning when I saw the last ones. And so you're covering a lot of distance of space, and that space doesn't rotate with the Earth. It's still going on. So that activity was going on all around the whole world. And it really concerned me on who they were and what they were fighting on. And I talked to some religious people and a preacher and that, and I asked them, told them, and they said, well, that could have been some of the Battle of Armageddon or good against evil and that. And I says, well, it's really made me think, as who are they? What were they fighting over? Is some protecting us and some trying to get in? And then I had a theory. The theory was maybe we're all from space, and maybe the black man, the Irishman, the Mexican, the Chinese, you know, every nationality, every different color. Maybe we were brought here from different corners of the galaxy as a test to see if we could get along or share brotherhood. And right now, I don't know, we might be failing the test if we don't do the right things. I'm wondering if we're going to get
it. It could be that, or it could be that the originals that were brought here, if they were brought here, were actually being sentenced to prison here. Have you ever heard that theory?
Well, I've heard so many different things, and some I agree with and some I don't, but I say this, don't doubt anything, because the things I've seen in the world, anything's possible. If somebody's acting really crazy, it's because he's probably really crazy. If somebody seems sane and he's trying to tell you the truth, you might want to listen, because he might have something smarter than what you have. But if you listen, or you go out and you see it and then you realize it's true, then you're going to be as intelligently crazy as him. And I'm welcome the world to come to my level. You want to be a little bit crazy? You want to tell the truth? It's easy to tell the truth. It's not easy to put up with a bunch of crazy people that don't believe it, because you feel so sorry for them because they think you're crazy. But it's them that's stupid enough not to believe we're the only thing in the planet or around the planet. And there's too many sightings and too many things. And I've seen them up close. I've seen them far away. And I take people out, and I can see some nights 50, some nights 30, and some really good nights 120 or 200 in about 3 hours. And people are just amazed, and they're saying, oh, Ed, I wish I could have seen these sooner, and I needed a pair of these glasses. And
you've actually taken, over the course of time, you've taken thousands, I guess, or more than 1,000, out at nighttime to see these UFOs, right?
Yeah, and I've probably shown person to person, I've probably shown about 4,000 or 5,000 people. I have lost track. But just this year alone, going to UFO shows, putting it up on a screen, like the show in Conspiracy Show and the UFO MUFON in San Jose, George Norrie was laughing, and he's one of me now. He came up to the roof, and other people were going back down to get him down in the cafe area, and he finally came up. And for a year, I've been bugging him and telling him, you can see these things. And why are people, UFO people, and you don't see UFOs, but you know they're out there. So come and take a look. I'm not lying. I'll show them to you, and then you'll be one of us. So, wow, he came up on the roof. And we had three pairs, and people were sharing them around. There's about
20. You're talking about three pairs of the night vision goggles, right?
Right, night visions, and we have a little laser, and we point so that we can show, it's not going to really hit the craft, but it will kind of line them out and show you. It's like an arrow going to them, or just like pointing at something on a movie screen. or a chalkboard. So he gets a pair, somebody's looking, and they go, there's one over there, and I look, and there it is. And it's about 200-300 miles up, and it's a fair size one. And I said, here, George, and I says, follow the laser. And I pointed the laser up in the air, and George looked up, and here was a good size one. It was going pretty fast. And then I realized it was starting to slow down a lot and slow down a lot. And I said, watch, George, it's going to stop. I see him do this all the time. It's going to stop. He says, are you kidding me? I said, no, George, look, watch. And he says, it looks like it's slowing and wobbling. I said, yeah, it's like it's getting a gyros in or it's getting stabilized and stopping. And he all of a sudden, he says, where did it go? And I says, it's right there. And I pointed the laser and I said, that is it. See, he stopped. He says, oh, my God, you know. He says, are you sure? And I said, yeah. I says, you don't see him going on anywhere else. He stopped right there. And I said, now, see that big star and that big star? Now, just down below those two is right there. That's him. I watched him come to a stop, and I see this all the time, and I have no reason to lie to him. And he says, oh, I know that. And so I said, now, we'll mark that spot, and we'll watch, because he might take off any time and start flying again. And he's at least 200 or 300 miles up. And he's pretty big. So George is looking around, and then all of a sudden George sees one of his own. He goes, whoa, look at that. What is that? And I spin around and go, good, that's a spacecraft. And he's down a little lower, and he's hauling ass. And George goes, whoa, that thing is fast. And it closed from one side of the sky to the other side of the sky, and he was following it across, and it was probably in 5-6 seconds. And as we were talking, looking, and other people were seeing it through another pair of glasses, and then his host, our man who works the show with him, Tommy got a pair of glasses, and he got focused in, and he saw another one, and then he saw, I think, a couple things he didn't know what they were or could be, and then George seen a couple of spacecraft that were for real, that was good, and he saw a few bats and things starting around, and I explained what those are. And all the people says, now they're going to believe you. When George and Tom sees them and you say, I can show you UFOs, and you get them up here and you show them. And so George is talking with me, and we're still looking around, and George says, you know, he says, when I have people on my show and when you were on show before, he says, I didn't know what to think because I'm doing a show. I don't need to prove it or what. But he says, you're right. You're telling the truth. They're real.
All right. Now, have you seen, since that event when you were 16, have you seen any UFOs firing on other UFOs since that time?
Yeah, all the time. Some nights you'll go out, though, and you'll have maybe 10 or 15 people, and you'll be sharing the glasses. And you might not see a battle, or you might not see one trying to come in, and a couple of them break their little pattern and zoom off and do battle with this one. But it's almost like they're out there, they're on patrol. It looks like they're protecting Earth from others getting in, or other types, or maybe they have a war going on of their own out there. But whatever they're doing, they fight with certain ones that come in, and they patrol, and they've got different shaped ones. And they're patrolling, and they're flying up there. There's some round oval-looking things that look like a football, and they're smaller, and there's some bigger discs that are like a disc of flying saucer, and there's some that are like a V-shape, and they're out there. They're flying around, and the big ovals will fight with the smaller ovals sometimes, and the deltas that look like a giant Concorde jet. And I've flown a lot. I've flown gliders and sailplanes, and I've flown helicopters and single-engine airplanes and double. And I've done a lot of flying back when I was able to in my share of barnstorming. And believe me, these things are not any airplane. And they're way up there out of the zone. And at 61, if you think I've seen, you know, satellites, you're crazy, because the thing is, satellites are not out there by the hundreds. And they're not fighting, turning, and spinning, and battling out with each other.
Now, with these things being so high up, Ed, how is it that you can see the shape of them? Are these night vision binoculars?
You can see some of the shape in the night vision binoculars. If depends on the level they are. Sometimes you see things at 80 to 100 miles. Sometimes you see it 200, 300 miles up.
Yeah, yeah, but what I'm asking is this night vision equipment you have, is it night vision binoculars or where it magnifies things?
Well, there's not much of magnification, but I have an instrument I stick on the end of some of them, and it puts a power up to me. And I'll try to keep one of those handy, and I can slip it on the end and see, and it brings it up several power. But I also have cameras that I hook under the backside of one of the lenses so that I can record and zoom them in to like 20, 30, 40 power. And then you look at them on the film. In my website there, you'll see some craft, and we're talking just a couple of people, and we're hanging out outside of my house, and they're wanting to see the UFOs, and they've come down many times, and they just get excited and all happy, and we see these things doing all kinds of things. And they'll go, and they're spotting them, and they're saying, oh, well, blah, blah, blah. And I go, hey, you're on film, you know. And it's really a super deal. It's better than going to a Ferris wheel ride or anything like that. It's really exciting. And you can see some things go on. But a satellite will take about a minute to a minute and a half to cross the sky. And you check with the NASA paperwork and what's going on, and there'll be so many satellites in a certain area at a certain time. And when you see them, you look up and you can find them, and they're just putting along, and it looks so slow. And about a minute, minute and a half, they've traveled across the sky. But these things come in any direction, opposite of rotation or satellites would normally want to travel, and they'll zoom in, and they'll come towards each other, give each other a buzz job, and then fly off in another direction. I've seen one get blown up by one, and they have a little capsule, some of them. It must be a capsule, but it's a strode light. And you can't see the strode light, but if you look with the glasses, then you see it. And it's kind of like a military, Navy thing where pilots could bail out over the ocean and turn this thing on, and the enemy couldn't see him. But if you have night vision, you can.
So what do you think that is?
Well, it's a survival thing. It's rescuing some of their comrades. Get blown up, you eject out, like the F-111 has a front pod on it, and everything's inside of there. And if they get hit with a missile, they can punch that thing out, and they rocket power, and they can kind of guide and control the power out of it to get out of where they were over-bombing or fighting or whatever and got shot down. And they might be able to have a range of 25 to 50 miles or so to get out of there. And I think it's similar to that. So I think there's some government technology, Navy technology, being used. But you'll see the light come on after there's a battle, and you see the one blow up, the one that's flown and going on. And you'll see this light come on, and it's floating across the sky up there, and it's up probably 150 miles, sort of, I guess, or so. And it's strobing, and it's going off real fast. And then you'll see another one come over, fly up around it, and then he'll start flying cover. And he's circling and circling, and pretty soon another one or two will come in, and they'll split the circle in half. So one will be on one side and one on the opposite side, and they'll be circling. And then the one that got there first will move in, slow up, pick up the capsule and the strobe light, and it'll go off. And then pretty soon you see him start to move, and he goes out and he breaks out of the circle and he flies off. And then one of the other two, one of them, the closest one, will break out and scoot out in front of him, and the other one will get behind him and cover behind him. And they take him off, and it looks like they're flying out into deeper space to get out of the battle zone or whatever.
All right, we're into a break, and we'll be back more with the Sky Wars right after this break. And then, of course, at the top of the hour, we will open the telephone lines for you to call in with your comments and or questions for Ed Grimsley. We'll be back right after this.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today.
It is indeed the Kevin Smith Show, and I am your host, Kevin Smith. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley, and we're talking about not necessarily Star Wars, but certainly Sky Wars that he has witnessed over the years. And most particularly, we're talking about using this night vision technology to do it.
What's the advantage, Ed, of using the night vision technology?
Well, the technology just lets you see what's up there, and it can't hide from you. And you'll see it flying in at one speed, picking up speed at another. Sometimes you'll see them come in from high and real bright, and then they'll fly, and they'll drop into the darkness because the shadows of the earth and the sunlight, and they'll drop in behind, and they're harder to see. But when they come down lower, and they're inside of our atmosphere, you can still see them because the ground is light and reflections, and you'll still see them, and it's still visible, and they can't run and hide. But at the same time, sometimes they're very difficult, and you'll see them up close, and you'll see them way out there. And sometimes you'll even see a squadron of 15 or 20 of them, and they'll break off sometimes and do battle. And
all right, let me, we'll come back to that, to the battle, but let me ask you about something sort of related to this. In preparing to do the show that I did last night, the interview with Edgar Mitchell, I was looking at a whole lot of NASA footage on the internet, and I found one. And it's from the shuttle, so I didn't use it, but I forget which shuttle mission it was. But they were they had the camera pointed toward the Earth, and they caught in the camera what looks like a giant space worm. It's just a long, white, tubular-looking thing. But it's squirming around in the upper atmosphere, and like it's kind of swimming around in the upper atmosphere. Have you ever seen anything like that through your night vision goggles?
Well, I don't know if it was like the antenna that broke off when spacecraft came around or anything. I haven't seen that picture yet, but maybe you can hook me up with it. I'd like to study it. But I have seen some things that look very long and huge, and then when they're on the other side, traveling further, they look shorter and like they've got bends in it. So it's like maybe this thing is flexible and it does put off some light to it. But I've seen some very, very big craft going by out there, and I've actually witnessed them stopping, dumping off craft that are smaller, and they're flying off into space like they're a refueling station or something. And I've seen them slow up and stop and take craft inside of them, and then a half hour, 45 minutes later, the craft comes back out and zooms off out into space, and the mothership just goes on. And we showed that to people. About 70 people were at the conspiracy conference, and George Gabori and a well-known scientist, Charles Osman, were helping me, and we were doing the cameras and showing people and showing the screen, and it showed two real nice ships flying along like as if they were two aircraft planes, but they're up in space. They're way out there. And you can see the shine of them through the glasses. So we picked them up and photographed them through the camera, showed the people on the screen. And, I mean, we had people standing all around us that were scientists sitting there going, oh, wow, this is for real. And it was good. I mean, you know, it makes you feel good to show people the truth, and they see it, recognize it. And then way in the background, there's one guy, he says, you sure that wasn't a couple of moths? And I go, well, no. I said, I'll show you what a moth looks like in a little bit. And so after that scene was gone, I saw a moth. And I said, hey, look at that, look at that. Put it on the camera. And it came up on the screen. This moth is buzzing around and doing his little circles, and everybody goes, yep, that's a moth.
So it's so, it's very clear to see the difference.
Oh, extremely easy. And I've been looking through the night visions from 98. See, early 98, around there when I bought my first pair, because I thought I could see UFOs. I thought I could see what was going on, and it worked. So I bought more pair and more pair. And in fact, I've shown so many people that they're so appreciative, they're thankful. They give me donations to help me for my gas, for my time. And I'm looking for a club where people are saying, make a club. So I started a club now, $20, and it's good for a year. You get a membership card on the Skywatch and the Night Vision people, and if we can get discounts on the glasses, we'll make deals with the companies and pass it on to members.
Well, and I think we should point out that this is not cheap technology. These things cost right at $4,000 a piece, don't they?
Yeah, the good ones are $3,500 to $3,900 a piece. There's even some that's better, but I can't afford all that on my own. So what I'm doing is this club will be memberships, and when somebody comes to where, if we go to Denver or we go to L.A. or we go to Washington or whatever, and we meet a bunch of people and they can come there, if they're members, they'll come and watch for free. If they're not members, we're going to charge something because it costs money to do everything nowadays, including going 1 mile down the road and the gas that it costs. So, you know, I don't want to make profit. I want to make more glasses, and if I can get 20 pair of glasses, I can train a couple of teams to go to different locations. People will fly us out. It was so funny. When I did the Nori show, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, and I was at a Waffle House and eating some food and trying to get my mind back together because I had just shown all these people, all these spacecraft, and we photoed them, and people were amazed, and I couldn't get away. I couldn't close up on it. And they were shaking my hand and thanking me and giving me their cards and giving them cards. And I just had to go to get some sleep and get some food. It's exhausting going around the country showing people these things. We get down there. I order my food. I gave my phone number to the world. I'm used to having people call me from every country and state and all that. So here's a phone call from Texas. And it's a nurse. And they're in the ER room, and it's a little slow, and they're bored, and they start talking to me, and then they put me on the speaker's phone, and they're wanting me to come to Texas, and they'll get money up, and they'll pay for my airfare and do all that, and they heard the show a couple hours before, and it was awesome, they said, and so they wanted to know, would I come there, and I said, sure. Put me something together where I get a round-trip ticket and get a hotel room, and I'll come down and give you guys a couple of days and let you watch. And so joking, they asked me if I'm single because there was a couple of nurses wanted to meet me. And I said, oh, that's pretty cool, and that must be fun, and, you know. And they're real serious about it. They're calling me and wanting to know when and how much, and it's great. So when you have people do that.
Now, have you done that Texas trip yet?
No, I haven't. It was just, I was in Albuquerque for the Tesla conference, and I showed a great big bunch of people, and we put up a screen, and we showed them spacecraft flying, and 7 of them come out of this thing that looked like it was a star. But it was a big mothercraft just sitting there, and then these guys dumped out. And he just got lucky, and he had the camera up, and he goes, whoa, and we started seeing them. And I looked up with the glasses, another pair, and there they were, as big as could be, the ovals. And they're like, they come out, and they flew off, like they're going to go out and do patrol or divide up. And they were in groups of 2, 2, 2, and the last group, 2s, had another one right next to the other one. So it was actually 7, not 6. So he showed it and had it recorded, and he was playing it back. And I turned the glasses. Somebody said, look at that bright thing. And I looked over, and it was a mothership that had dumped them out. And I said, yeah, that's where they flew out of. And she started to move and was leaving. And I was watching her leave, And I said, look, she's moving, she's starting, there she is, she's the one that they came from. And then all of a sudden, way back behind it, I seen a small oval-looking one that's like a football shape, and it was way up high. And she started moving and picking up speed, and it started to come down on her like it was chasing. And it came down, and it was getting closer and closer, and I saw a beam fire, and it missed the mothercraft, and the mothercraft fired back. You could see the beam go out and just annihilate what was going on. So in turn, we got to see it, but a few people did and a few people didn't, and he was winding the machine forward, playing the other one again, so he couldn't photo it. And, you know, it's so much of that happens. If you see a battle, it's so quick, it's so fast, and you don't realize what's going on, but sometimes you see the flash. And it was great. And then probably 15 minutes later, here come a squadron of Deltas overhead. And they had a big V shape to it. And they were up there probably 100 miles or so up. And people were able to see it with their naked eye. And some of them had a little light on, and some of them didn't. And it was three in the front, starting a V.
Ed, we'll have to continue that after this break. And then I've got a question to follow up. And then we'll open up the telephone lines, folks. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
And the people laugh as they take photographs.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Welcome back. My guest this evening on The Kevin Smith Show is Ed Grimsley. And we are talking about the Sky Wars. And Ed, you were beginning to describe something, and I had to cut you off for the break. But if you want to continue, go ahead.
You know, there's so much stuff out there. And with these night vision, you can see so many things that you can't normally see. People are standing there in a group, and the people with the glasses are looking and say, wow, that's a big one. Look at those two together, and blah, blah. And everybody's going, what, where, and all this, you know, and they go, huh? And they get the glasses, and then they get to see it, and they pass them off to somebody else. So I'm working on this stuff now to put it on a screen and show the screen.
Well, in fact, on your website, you've got some video of it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that was some stuff that I shot with a 10-power. Some of that stuff is out there 150, 200 miles out or better. And there's actually a big mothership that came up out of the ocean, or a cargo ship came up out of the ocean and was flying out towards Calistoga, coming from off the coast of by Bodega Bay. And you can see there's a big silver one, and there's some kind of trellis stuff hanging below it, like a cargo being carried by a helicopter or something, but there's something strung in underneath of it. And then you can see these four deltas in the background, and this thing just comes to a stop, some fly on by, and they're probably like 50 miles away, and they're in the background, and they fly by, and there's four of them, and then they move off and they separate, and two of them go one way and two of them another. And then this other one starts to fly and move again. And
now, is this video that you're describing now, is this on your site?
Yeah, it's on the site.
Uh-huh.
It's on there, and it's part of the footage in the film. And then in other parts of it, you'll see there's a couple of them flying across, and they're side by side, maybe a half a mile apart. And they're flying off and coming across, and they cover the whole sky in front of you in 10, 15 seconds. So when you find them and you start filming them, it's difficult, but they're out there a couple hundred miles. But you zoom them in, and there's some of those on the site, and you can see some of them. You can see the dome on the top of the saucer. And this is night vision with a little camera stuck up against the lens, and you're trying to hold the camera against the lens, and you're trying to look through one eye and find directions and that.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing. Ed, let's go to the phone lines and find what the audience may have to say or ask.
One moment.
Mm-hmm.
Give one moment here.
Yeah.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Okay. The name of the glasses I'm using are PV7s, and it's kind of an Excalibur brand, and model E1700. And they run about $3,500, and if you get something really cheap, you're not going to see anything. You get at least a third generation, and you'll see, or a fourth. You can get information off of www.nightvish.com, okay?
All right.
So maybe that'll save me a couple hundred phone calls.
Okay. Let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on The Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah, something we were talking about the other night. I tuned in late. I was wondering, did he have any information, I don't know where he's out of, about that California thing?
Yeah, I'm Calistoga, California, in the head of the Napa Valley, and I try to put shows on for people, Skywatches, at the south end of Washington Street in a little town of Calistoga at the Little League Field. I helped build it and donated it, and so they don't kick me off of it.
Do you know anything about this? There were some reported sightings in California. Terry, are you talking about the ones near, I think it was near San Diego?
Well, I'm not quite sure where it was at, but it's the one they showed pictures of it burning and, you know,
parts flaking off on it, and they crashed, and the fire department went out, but they didn't find anything.
Yeah, you know anything about that, Ed?
No, I really don't know anything about that. And what I try to do is what I know for sure, I know for sure. So that's what basically what I talk about. And if there's other things, I'll say I heard about it or I think, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because my job is I'm trying to tell people the truth 100% and then let them see things for themselves. But there's a lot going on out there, and anything out there is possible. So, you know.
Terry, have you found any further information about that situation?
No, I haven't really looked into it. I just, like I said, I just tuned in late, and I heard that, you know, he had night vision and stuff, and he was seeing, you know, Star Wars going on.
Yeah.
My website is, you can look up www, and it's the website that you can look at, and you'll tell. You'll see it. You'll know it's real.
Yeah, it's www.edgrimsley.com.
Oh, his website?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just been browsing it.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Mm.
The telephone number, folks, is up on your screen if you're watching the show. And it is 623-581-5148. 623-581-5148. Now, we have heard, Ed, on this show, people who have called in talking about having seen UFOs doing battle in the skies above them. And this was not with night vision, but this is not unique. I mean, we're beginning to hear reports of this sort of thing around the country. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
I just wanted to say hi to Terry, a fellow Buckeye. And I wanted to ask Ed a couple of questions. Ed, on viewing this through the night vision binoculars, is it pretty easy to see these craft fighting?
Yes. You don't see too many fights with your naked eye, but you might catch one here or there. See a flash out there in the sky, and you think, what was that? Well, if you're looking with the night vision, you'll see what made the flash, and it's usually another craft blowing up. And sometimes it's out there 300-400 miles, you'll see something happen. Sometimes it's 150 miles out, but you probably will never see it inside the atmosphere, because when it fights with one and blows something up, there's going to be debris raining down on Earth and then remains and things. But if it's up in the sky, anything that gets blown up, those pieces travel around in the direction of the force they were, and then later they drop in someplace and they look just like a piece of meteorite or whatever, and it'll burn up and you'll never know what was there.
Interesting. I have another question. I'm a twice contactee, and I have been in telepathic communication with both vessels at both times when it happened to me when I was younger. Have you ever had anyone who has either been either an abductee or a contactee try to contact any of those ships while they were viewing them through the night goggles?
I've had some people that I know, they say they've been abductees, and I can believe them because I've had some experiences that I don't talk about, that I'm still trying to figure out. And I believe it's all possible for people to communicate with them and that. And a lot of times when I show up someplace, people say they've never seen anything there before, but they're just out on a group of people that always go sky watching without glasses and stuff. And so I ask the Creator to send some extra ones by and show these people the truth. And, you know, it must have something going for it. It works because I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Saturday night we got to show probably 40 people plus a bunch of tape and film, all these craft doing different things, and one unloading a bunch of craft out of it. And then it's probably 150, 200 miles up. And then we go off to Roswell, New Mexico, and we're talking to people. Have you ever seen a spacecraft? Do you want to see one? Do you do this and that? So we talked to the newspaper there.
talked to the editor, and he hooked us up with a writer and a story people, and we met people all around town while having lunch or getting food. He says, come over there, and we're going to try to show you. So a whole bunch of people showed up, and they're thinking we're totally idiots, you know. But they're showing up anyway because they want to see if they can see a UFO. And we bring out the glasses, and I tell them how to work them, how to do it, and start looking. And somebody seen a bat go by, and they got all excited. I said, no, no, that was a bat. And then another person says, well, what's that? And I look over, and I say, oh, that's a spacecraft. And they go, wow, can it move? Look at that, straight line, zoom, and now it's turning. And they did all that kind of stuff. And those people that we showed got to see probably 15 or 20 spacecraft in an hour. They got to see probably 30 bats and birds and a few bugs. But we can tell you the difference, and you can learn the difference by being on the night glasses for a little while. And so we want you to see the truth. And those people did that. And then we went from there, and I'm driving across to across to Arizona, and there was a little town. I stopped at a gas station, and I asked, is anybody here in the store and all ever seen a spacecraft? Well, I did when I was little. I said, you want to see any tonight? So they turn around, come outside. We go to the door corner of the gas station. That we whip out three pair of glasses, and there's about six people. We're looking for 20 minutes, and they got to see five.
Outstanding.
And they're like, whoa, dude. And I gave them my card, and it has UFO on it, and Ed Grimsley, an investigator. And they had me sign the backs of them. And then one guy says, I want this. I'm going to really keep it. He says, it'll be like a Babe Ruth card. I go, cool. And he goes, yeah. He says, when you get too well known and they shoot you for showing those stuff through, he says, it'll be worth more money than that then. And I go, well, I'm going to try not to get shot for a while.
Yeah. We don't want to go for getting shot here. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Uh-huh. All right. Pardon me. All right, the telephone number is 623-581-5148. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. And if you will, tell us your first name and from where you're calling.
That's Ryan in Puget Sound area.
Yes, Ryan.
Yeah, Ed, have you ever gotten in contact with Charles Hall in the past?
You know, it's so... I may have been in touch with him, but I don't know for sure because I get probably an average of maybe 2,000 callers in a month.
Well, ask and Kevin about Charles Hall. I think you ought to get in you ought to talk to Charles Hall. He might be able to help you out a lot with this type of thing. He knows a lot about it. Ask Kevin about it.
Okay, Ryan, thank you for the call. The telephone number is 623-581-5148. 623-581-5148. Is there a sky war going on? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Atlanta.
Hi, Trey.
Hey, I got a comment and a question. It sounds like this might be the secret they're trying to cover up there, guys. I mean, I don't know.
Definitely.
It sounds like something that they might want to keep secret. Yeah, if you know it, I'm assuming you know our guys know it, and the, you know all the guys around the world probably. I want to make a comment. Is that we've heard stories about a cosmic war. We've heard a couple of guys on here talking about that in your show in the last month, Kevin. Let me ask both of you separately. Do y'all think this might be the war between good and evil, and it's just that we can't see it, and that maybe, you know, it talks about the Bible, Kevin, the battle of the Euphrates,
Armageddon.
And then what other battle?
Is Armageddon.
Well, there's the Battle of Armageddon.
Okay, that's after the Battle of the Euphrates, right?
I never heard of the Battle of the Euphrates.
Okay, well. That's right in Iraq, I believe. But anyway, I was going to ask y'all, do y'all think that's possibly the God battling could be the good versus evil?
I think it's about 90% possible that that's what's going on. The only problem is that our government is not telling us that it's going on. And part of our government is telling the truth, the other part's not knowing and not telling. And I think they're hiding a lot from us. And I don't know if that hiding is going to hurt us. or it's helping us. Can the people handle the truth? How do we have beings that are actually involved in our government secretly and trying and guiding and helping, and is some of them helping our government and the world to put these crafts together and fight back? And who's fighting who? Is it that some of our Earth government is corrupt and maybe they're actually the beast, or they're the world order, or they're the Nazi Party fourth rank or something, and maybe they're the ones that are behind controlling stuff and the price of the oil and everything, and the good guys may be the ones trying to come in to get us free and to help us and do things and godlike, and the other ones may be the bad.
Well, the good guys have had centuries. The good guys have had literally centuries. If these are good guys, they've been visiting the Earth, these UFOs, for centuries and maybe millennia. And they've had centuries in which they could have done all kinds of things, like cure cancer. They haven't done it. I don't think they're coming to rescue us. I don't necessarily think they're coming to hurt us, but I don't think they're coming to help us either. I don't think either hurting or helping is in their interest.
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of them are coming in and getting in, and they got places and bases underneath the ocean, underneath the earth, and they've been here for a lot longer than we know, and they might want to keep it a secret a lot longer, but is that going to do us good? Is it going to keep us safe? The reality of what I see, it scares me for the human race, because the human race is so out to lunch that they don't have the reality to see what they see and understand it.
Well, like I said, insanity is pandemic. It's all around the world. You have people denying reality all over the place.
Yeah. And, you know, if you've listened to me right now, you're probably saying, well, this guy doesn't sound like he's crazy, and it sounds like he's trying to tell us the truth, and he's not making anything out of doing it. And, you know, that means you're smart enough to see three things right. Now look and see UFOs, and you'll be four right.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Ryan again. Kevin, can you tell him how to get in touch with Charles Hall? Can you tell him about?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Charles Hall he'll be able to help you and tell you who these craft are and where they're coming from, because he has top secret clearance. He used to work at Indian Springs.
Yep, I'll get them hooked up. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. I take every good information I can get.
Telephone number is 623-581-5148, 623-581-5148. If you have a question or a comment, I'm interested. We have folks listening to the show all around the world in about 95 countries. We've got folks watching the show on our TV stream. And I'm interested in knowing if some of you have seen UFOs firing beams of light at other UFOs. If you have, please give me a call. I'd like to hear from you. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Ed, I wanted to ask you, have you ever noticed any kind of distinctions in the crafts you're seeing? Like maybe a fighter type role versus like a recon type role or anything like that? Or are they pretty...
Yeah, that's definitely so. You're definitely right. It's definitely so. And I can easily identify five different craft. And I see them all the time, and I see the different shapes. And when I see one shape versus another shape coming in another direction or opposite, I'm almost sure there's going to be a battle, because those two don't get along. And then there's some that get along, and they're bigger, they're different shapes and things, and they'll fly near each other and do it. And I've often seen some come in from way high and give a buzz job to a couple of them, like wake them up or give them some excitement. If you could picture a fighter pilot coming in from above another, like they're sneaking in, and buzz by them and then pull up and make a turn, like celebrating something. They do that. So I'm pretty sure they got a lot of human in them, because that seems like a human thing.
Yeah, that what you're describing actually sort of reminds me of a scene in Top Gun in the movie.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise takes his aircraft and flies upside down above a Russian MiG.
Right.
And he's canopy to canopy and takes a Polaroid shot of the other pilot. What you were just describing sort of sounds like that sort of tomfoolery, we shall call it. And but now,
if
you've
Tom,
been...
If Tom Cruise is out there, tell him to call me. I can enlighten him and he can help the world.
Well, he may be listening. We do have quite a number of folks in Hollywood that stay tuned to this show night after night after night. So who knows?
I hope some of those celebrities call me and learn the truth.
We have had some of them on the show. And and I know that there are a number of Hollywood folks, actors, as well as producers and directors that stay tuned to this show. All right. The telephone number is 623-581-5148. It's right here on your screen. And if you have a question or a comment about the Sky Wars taking place night after night, we'd love to hear from you. And if you have seen it happen, I especially want to hear from you. So give us a call, 1-623-581-5148. All right, we're just a couple of minutes, well, not even a couple of minutes, a minute from break. Over all the years that you've been watching this happen, have you formed an opinion as to who is who and what's up?
I got some pretty good ideas, but still, I don't have the exact truth 100%, but I do believe that what's really true is that our government has some, other governments have had some. I've interviewed a lady whose husband flew them for the government, tried to quit. They framed him for murder, and he's in prison right now. And I did an interview in my movie. My movie is coming out, and it's Star Wars type thing. But if they want to look on my website, they can order the movie, and she's in there and talking and interview. There's some footage in there and some craft flying around. And Jose Escamilla is helping me do my movie.
Ed, we have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the movie and get some information about when it's coming out and what we can expect to see in it. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away.
Not a little kid anymore.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host. My guest this evening is Ed Grimsley. And, Ed, we were talking about the movie. We'll come back to that. I want to go to the telephone line first. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio again.
Yeah, Terry.
That lady that he's talking about, do you mind if I mention another show?
I don't care.
Oh, Daniel Ott, his show, there was a lady, it sounds like what he's talking about, called in, said her husband was part of this Star Wars, and they were fighting out around Saturn and all this stuff, and I don't know what he did, but she said that he's in prison now to keep him quiet. I was wondering if that's the same person, and maybe he could put you in touch with her, because that's quite interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in touch with her at times. She calls me now. I joined her organization, and it's kind of the Earth Defense Alliance-like. And she's also joined my, what I call, Citizens Alliance, where I'm trying to get citizens to pull together and unite and stand strong with.
So it's the same person?
I think so.
Uh-huh. And she's in your movie, right?
Yeah, she's in my movie. And she's talking about it. It was the first interview I've ever done with anybody in my whole life, so it's maybe not Technicolor and all the good things, but it gets the point across. And
now, your movie is being produced by Jose Escamilla.
Jose and I are working on it together, and it's just a low-dollar, small movie, and that's, you know, the UFOs and...
When is this movie going to be available for viewing?
It's available now.
Oh, it is out.
It's really good, yeah.
And what do you call it? What's the title?
Oh, I'm so tired. I think it's Ed Grimsley UFO Wars, or Night Vision UFO Wars. I'm really tired. I'm working on a lot of projects, so I'd be...
Believe me, my friend, I understand. When you and I first talked earlier today, we were both so tired we could barely speak English, but we got it done.
The slurring of the words was not my accent.
All right, now, where can folks get this movie?
Well, look at my website and get on there, and... you can order it through PayPal and that, or my post office box is P.O. Box 234, Calistoga, California, zip code 94515, Ed Grimsley. And by the way, anybody in the world that wants to call me, my phone number is 707-478-2540, and all I ask is if you call me between 9 in the morning and 9 at night. And
that's Pacific time.
That's out here in California time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting calls and have had calls from all over the world, Russia, France, Germany, Paris, you know, all over, Florida, California now. And I get about an average of 100 calls a day. And then when I burn out and I fizzle down, I turn that number off. And I have to turn it off because I have to do things like eat and go potty and sleep. And, you know, and I'm doing the best I can, and I'm just trying to give you all my attention, all my time, and hoping to help the world. But I also work on inventions to power cars through electricity and hydrogen. And I'm trying to get enough money because I can make them run, and they'll work. I just got to make them safe and get some backing. And I see so many people out there with some little bony thing over the internets and buy this kit, buy that kit, and all that. And that stuff is so stupid about what I can do. And if you want to,
are you willing? Would you be willing to come back and let's do a show on that?
Yeah, but right now at this point, I'm spending so much money on it and time, and I'm trying to make contracts with the countries to pay me so many million. And then I'll go and give them the technique and show it to them. Because, you know, I have family to feed, I have kids to do. And if I can make millions of dollars on something good, I'd like to buy a couple of ships and send them out on the ocean with some good crews and start cleaning up the size of Texas mess that's floating out in the ocean. and maybe shred some of those and melt some certain things down and drop them into the ocean so that the fish can have them underneath, like making a reef.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I sound a little bit crazy, and that's only because I am, but I'm a little bit crazy, but I'm a whole lot smart. And, you know, everything takes money. And I'm even setting up a club to where it's a Skywatch club, and anybody who wants to, they can send into that P.O. box or go through the thing and give me your address and name. I'll make up a membership card, and if I can find these classes at a discount, then I'm going to make a deal with the company that anybody's a member of my Skywatch and they have an ID number, they can do it. The other thing is, if they send $20 and become a member, they'll get a newsletter from us, they'll get a card membership, and anytime we have a Skywatch anywhere in the world, if they're a member, they're welcome to drop in and see for free. If not, we're going to ask for like a $20, $30 donation or more, because we need to get money to buy more glasses, to bring them to people who can't afford. Now, could you picture if we had 20 pair of glasses, and one day we had a team in Texas, and the next day we had somebody in Kansas, and going out and people coming to it? And so we could buy all these glasses, afford the airplane, and we can get it out to the world.
And all right, let's talk about the movie a little bit. How much does the movie cost? If I want to buy a copy of this movie, I want to get my own, how much does it cost?
Well, if you're a member of my Skywatch, we'll give you a discount. And the movie is $29. I believe that's what Jose has helped put the price on. And that includes your shipping of the movie back to you. And
What if I'm not a member? What does it cost me?
That's $29.
$29. But if I'm a member, I get a discount.
Right. And if you do, we're going to figure the cost of shipping. We're going to give you the movie for $20 and give you the shipping, or you'll pay the shipping on your end. So we're trying to give you like a $9, $10 break if you're a $20 member for a year. And then we're working another movie out, and it's called Moon Rising. And Moon Rising will probably get us both killed, Jose and I, because we are coming at NASA with our teeth showing, and we forensic their films and their footages. And just for example, I mean, things like engraved in the, what was supposed to be the moon, but it was actually sort of a fake moon. We have pictures engraved in the car. And I'm kind of dyslexic after head injuries in the military and had to learn how to read and write over, and and was blind for a while. And I look at things a little different. And so we started running up some of the NASA films and footages that they've been selling to millions of people all around the world, saying, oh, this is truth, this is the real moon, this is this and that. And I'm finding stuff in that moon that is little things inlaid in crevices or canyons, and there's little pickup trucks laid in there, and Pinocchio laying there with his little dog sitting in the ground, and you zoom in and there it is. And there's devices that have been put into the crevices and the canyons of the moon footage that you don't see it back in that day. But when you Adobe it and zoom it up and forensic it, or erase some of the stuff and take it off that's been painted out and covered up, you're going to find all this crap. And this crap is unbelievable. And the artists that helped do the project and helped make the moon and cover it all up, they basically said, this is a lie, and we can't tell anybody now, or we'll get fired, shot, killed, whatever. And so they inlaid and hid these things all over the place. And because I'm a little bit dyslexic, I look at things a little different. And when I start looking at them, I'm telling Jose, hey, look at this. There's a picture of Hitler back in that little corner of the moon. Or, hey, there's a swastika over here. Look at that. And
so what you're saying is that the artists that, okay, first of all, what you're saying is that the pictures that we have seen of the moon landings and so forth are not real, and that the...
I'd say that most of them are not real. There may be some that are real, but most of it I'd say no, and that there's been stuff done by the artists and it's in the movie. We're filling it in.
But you're saying the artist did that sort of as, okay, we can't talk about it, but someday somebody will find this and know it's not real.
They're going to find it.
So they did it on purpose.
Yes, definitely. They put things there for us to find and see. Now, I know it's not real, but blending it in and the artwork and the stuff that's there, there's a big bear out there. And his picture is there, and he's standing there. And they blended it into what's a mountain. And they make that mountain actually be a bear. And next to it's another head of a big bear looking out at it like its mother watching the small bear. And those are some of the things that are there. And you're going to see that in the movie, and believe me, NASA's not going to like it.
All right, now let me ask you this. Whenever you're saying that some of the pictures some of the pictures from the moon may be real, and then some of them are not. Why? For what purpose do you think what purpose would NASA have to release some real and some not real?
Well, some of the rocket pictures and things like that are definitely real, but the actual moon landings and pictures of the moon supposedly being orbited and that, we pick up some of the same things hidden and saying, like, hey, if you find this, you know it's a lie. And the terrains of the mountains and the things. And then there's actually, in our movie, we have things where it's showing the astronauts doing the show. And they're talking about the moon and how it looks like a big piece of cheese and all that. And somebody's saying, well, you know, it looks like a big piece of cheese, but to me it looks like a big plaster Paris moon. And it's just almost like it looks real, but it's not, or whatever. And he's talking like this. And that was his own clue of saying, hey, I got to say what I say. And I'm doing my job, but if you catch this line sometime down the road, he'll know I was trying to get you a message. And, you know, I'm telling you that we have things in there that are unbelievable.
So, but again, what would the purpose be? I mean, there's some footage from the moon that I think irrefutably is from the moon, and the reason I think so is because there are some physicists that have looked at it, and I showed some of it last night. They've looked at it and done the calculations on movements, and they've come up with the fact that what we're looking at is definitely not Earth gravity. And I showed some of that footage last night.
The swinging of the tape.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so there you've got one that... Do what?
There's probably things that's been done to make it change its speed, like a yo-yo. If you put a yo-yo.
Well, no. When you speed that tape up, let's say I know what you're talking about. If the idea being, well, if you shoot it at normal speed and then you slow it down, it looks like they're actually in lower gravity. The thing is, if you speed that tape up, you can tell that it is a speeded up tape. It doesn't return to normal Earth-type movement. It's a speeded-up movement, a rapid movement. And so, you know, the physics involved with that tape swinging indicates that they are in 1/6 gravity. You know, I think it's fairly irrefutable. Now, let's say that one is real. And then let's say that what you're saying is that there are others that were released that were not real. When we come back from this break, I want us to talk about what would be the purpose for releasing some real and some not real. I think that's a big mystery. We have to take this break. We'll be back with Ed Grimsley right after this.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
before I folded, fell apart. When life goes up and down, emotions start running, running round and round. But baby, I can't rest. I made my life, yeah, total mess. Thought you were
K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
We are back. This is the Kevin Smith Show. I am Kevin Smith, your host, and my guest is Ed Grimsley. Ed, I've, during the break, started playing that video, so people are seeing it. The thing is, whenever they do the calculations, they put the calculations up on the screen, and when they do the calculations, they say, okay, you would have to double the speed of the film in order for that tape to swing that many times in Earth gravity in that period of time. And so when you do that, the astronauts' movements do not return to what we would expect as normal movements in Earth gravity. But they're very rapid movements, like if you just take a video and speed it up, you know, and everybody's moving real rapid. And so that would indicate that this is not film or video that was shot and then slowed down to make it look like they were in moon gravity. Because when you speed it back up, they should have normal movements. They don't. They have those real rapid movements. So the normal speed is the original speed we're watching it at.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can agree with what you're talking about, that it may or not may not be. But for me to give you my opinion of right or wrong, I'd have to look at it. I'd forensic the film and do it, because I have caught NASA at so many lies and watched it, and it's there, and it's proof, and they're...
Well, one film does not prove that all films were shot from the moon, but I think this one, the evidence is that it was. And my question would be, what would be their purpose or their goal of letting us see some real stuff from the moon and then showing us fake stuff as well? Why would they mix it up like that? I ask only because I'm curious. I don't know what the purpose would be.
Well, all I can tell you is when you get to see Moon Rising, the movie, you're going to see things that you're not going to believe, and we're going to show you where it's fake, how it is, and you're going to say, my God.
And you're going to wonder, why did they even do this at all? Why? Because they're not telling the truth. They're covering up things. And they don't want us to know the truth, because the truth might set us free. The shuttle program is a BS program, because they have spacecraft that can go out and do other things way beyond it. And that's what we're getting. And they're taking our money, and they're buying and building and doing more spacecrafts and maybe more vehicles to fight a battle than what you can ever imagine. And they're going to keep up with that war that's going on in space, because I think they're part of it. I think they're trying to keep certain beings out, and they've got an allied in certain beings, and they're working together. And I just believe nothing that NASA says.
If I understand what you're saying that there is a war that's taking place in space near the Earth, and that I'm sorry?
And maybe further out, a lot farther out.
And you're saying, if I understand correctly, that you think that we, the United States, are involved in that war.
And other countries, that is part of the Federation space program that Joanne's father-in-law used to work for and her husband used to work for. And he can't talk about the United States program because they'll kill him if he did. But he's already in prison because he quit the program and framed for murder. And, you know, you can't imagine what's going on out there and what corruption there is in this world and how we're being used and abused as citizens all over the world. And we're being kept in the dark because we don't see very well in the dark. Well, the night visions can take you out of the dark and show you what's going on. The other thing is that there's astronauts out there that are true, good people and risk their lives and do things. But if they came forward and told about the lies and how there was a phony stage set up and how astronauts were talking, saying the moon is so beautiful, all that, and here's secret film, has them pictured there talking about it, and they're in their street clothes. Now, when I'm telling you that you're gonna be really surprised when you see our movie,
they're in their street clothes on the moon?
They're supposed to be on the moon, but they're on a little stage, and they're talking, and it has been snuck in out a film that somebody took them doing it and faking it, and then we've gotten it, and we got the film of it, and it's real live, and there's a moon in the background and a tracking device going around the moon, and when an astronaut says it looks like a giant piece of cheese, and the other one says, well, yeah, but to me it looks like a big piece of Plaster Paris moon. And that's because you see in the same scene, you see a big Plaster Paris moon, and they have a rail going around it taking pictures of it, acting like that's the moon, and they're showing those photos to the world. And to me, that's lying. That's cheating. That's fraudulent. Isn't that embezzling people when they sell that footage to the world and say, this is the moon? Well, if you
did, now let's think about that. I'm not sure that NASA sells footage, and I'm quite honest about that. I'm not sure that they sell it. I know with their photographs, all you have to do is you contact them, tell them which photographs you want, you get them free.
Well, then back when there's people that bought some of the first footages and came out and they have it and exclusive to it. And we've actually had to pay them for some of that footage because they own the rights to it and they bought it from NASA. Okay, so I know that's a fact. And, you know, if I sold you something for a dollar and it was a lie, I still lied to you, I still cheated you, I still fraudulently did it.
So what's your conclusion about all of this? Did NASA send men to the moon or not?
Well, it's possible, but if they send them, they didn't send them by the craft they said. And if we got ran out of there by aliens and having bases back there and they're flying in and patrolling Earth out here, that could be possible. It's all possible that there has been mining going on. It's real possible that there are structures on the backside of the moon and we're not seeing any of it. The Japanese people have had satellites and go up and do it. They've got footages and there's big things up there. There's massive things up there.
Have you seen the Japanese footage?
Let me put it this way. I had some shown to me, a little bit of it, but I wasn't able to pay $50,000 up front for it to take it and put it in our movie. But it's there. It's real. They sent a satellite around, and they did it the real way. They didn't do it on a fiber and plastic moon. And when you see the things that has been put on the moon, that they're selling it to you and telling you about it, saying it, well, did they have to do it because of security reasons? No, I think because they were bullshitting the world and they had a program.
Okay, let me remind you that you are on AM and FM stations, and we have to comply with FCC language rules.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe I should use the word of just bull, and that might cover it. Is that safe?
That's safe. All right.
Sorry.
Yeah. So you're saying that there is a real and very advanced space program that goes beyond anything that anybody can imagine, but...
And we're not being told about it. We're only being shown the other little program to keep us pacified.
Okay, Ed, we've reached the end of the show. I wish we had more time, but we don't. If you will, stay on the line with me for a moment. And, ladies and gentlemen, another home run. Interesting stuff. I invite you to go over to Ed Grimsley's website, take a look at what is there, and take a look at the trailer for the movie. I think it's something you'll probably want to get your hands on. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. And be sure you're back tomorrow night, all right? Until then, when we take a look at exempt from disclosure, so long, everybody.